Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get shungite to the masses. You are entering the shungite zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Welcome to the Shungite Show. We're recording on October 22, 2025. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Mark Joseph and Callius. We were supposed to have a guest on, but scheduling happened, and so we decided that we were just going to kind of like open it up to any kind of a subject that we happen to have been into. And Mark right away started to talk about some stuff, so I'm going to turn it over, but first I'm going to say, hey Callius, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I don't know that I would use fantastic, but I'm doing okay. I'm doing really, really good okay.
Good, good. Yeah, I just woke up from a very, very vivid dream, so I'm still getting my bearings, but I'm good.
You know, the dreams are weird lately because I programmed years ago to not remember the dream. I'm like, look at something else, maybe another version of myself is doing things in dreams, but if it doesn't affect Nancy Hopkins, I don't care. You know, I want to go to sleep. I want to clear my mind, you know. And for decades, that's the way it was. But then all of a sudden, I started to realize I was dreaming or had been dreaming. And I was getting, you know, kind of images stuff. Nothing spectacular, but so, not last night, but the night before, I'm in a dream, but the dream was incredibly real. And I'm sitting in the chair I sit in to watch the television, and the television is on, the sound, everything. But there also seemed to be people in the house with me, and that's not normal. So it was like I was just sitting there observing, not making any thoughts in my head. And all of a sudden, in the dream, the electric went out. And you know, there's that sound when it goes out. And boom, everything went dark. And I opened my eyes and I'm going like, wait a minute. I'm in my bed and I look at the clock, and the clock is still working. And that's the first thing to go out if there's an electric flitter. But that was the strangest dream. I don't even know what to make of it. Not that you would know either, but dreams can be weird.
Yeah, so sometimes they come out of left field. You know, as for me, it's a pretty much a similar process every night. The closer and closer I get to lucidity, the more vivid they become, and immersive they become. It's like I'm actually there, and when I'm awakened in the middle of it, it's like my brain's in a soup for about 20 minutes. So I'm reemerging from that at the moment, but no, I'm good. Everything's going well this week, getting stuff done, and it's been a productive week. I'm doing great.
Good. Mark, how are you doing? And then what have you been into?
Yeah, I'm glad the Kalis went off with that, because new moon is usually the time when you have the peak dreams in terms of clairvoyance, messages, lucidity, vividness. As far as my own patterning and journaling has gone for years, and I used to host Inception, like the movie, these excursions around the world. I tried to do the moon and Mars, but I guess there was a limitation with that. Sacred sites around the world, and even the Jinn Cave, that's how First came into the Shungite show and talked about that. Haven't done that lately. Others have been hosting, you have these different dream forums online, and then you just, what do you call it? Like catch the train and then see if you get a bite kind of thing. Dream warfare, that was a topic. But no, so let me see. Dreams were very vivid. I can write them down in my journal. Just nothing unusual. Like I was at a gas station waiting in line, and the line was building up behind me. And this is just during REM sleep. And I forget what the delay was, but I got these pictures under a relative's name. Like they had a photo mat in the back. And it's like, this is matched to my last name, but this isn't mine. So I just decided to take it. I looked at the pictures. I still remember what they look like. There might be a clairvoyance aspect because someone close to me was there in the dream. I mean, and then this kind of continues the day before and the day after, even like the day after that and the day before that. The new moon phase, and I tend to journal more around that time. But as per our conversation from last week, I've been upping my copper dose. The Jason Homel Copper Revolution book and Facebook group, and I'm doing like 30 to 40 milligrams of copper a day with drops that they recommend to mix. Copper sulfate I got from Amazon. And the dreams have been pretty consistently vivid. I don't know, can't really say too much other than that. I mean, my energy's good. I did have a knee. The knee problem was kind of fixed. I guess after the last week, the Awake versus Aware, promote that show. When Karen was on, and I got sick like that night, pretty phlegmy, mucousy, and like I knew stuff was surfacing. She used the Genius Biofeedback on me, this phone app or iPad app that based on frequencies and a whole host of other tools. Almost like a med bed kind of thing. I mean, the close to me, as far as, because I was going to buy a Spooky 2, which Derek and Walt has, or a BCX, which I heard that about from Penny Kelly, like these frequency machines where you put different things for what you need, minerals, vitamins, whatever, parasites. The BCX was like $3,000, and then Spooky 2 was, minimum was two. They had different variations, but the main thing I wanted to do was get my supplements, convert them into frequencies and sound, and then send them out to myself and to people, friends and family, and help them that way. And this whole time, I've had the Genius Biofeedback for what, 5, 6 years? And this whole time, this thing on my phone was able to do that. It was I was pretty upset at myself. And thanks to Karen McDonald, I mean, she's been in all of our shows, very generous with her time. And I'll be sending her some of Derek's books and Shungite stuff. What's that's the latest Shungite book that's out. Derek's book, and then he has a couple other ones, one on bees.
Jump.
And yep.
Let me ask you now. You said that the night after we had the recording for the show, you felt yucky.
I think it's more like the day after, now that I think about it. Because I'm taking stuff every day because we're exposed to so many things all the time. And it
Okay,
was,
so but you were taking other things, not just the energy.
which I usually do anyway.
Okay, all right, just wondering about that.
Yeah, and it subsided like a day or two after. And,
Well, and I
yeah.
also wanted to so everything that you saw on the Genesis application, you feel that with your research on the Spooky 2 and the others, that the Genesis does it, and they seem to be putting more and more frequencies into it.
Yeah, that's just one spoke of the wheel. I mean, sure, frequencies, and because a Spooky 2 can also convert vitamin supplements into frequencies to send to people. But the as far as what I've researched with those other things, the Genius does so much more stuff.
The Genesis doesn't have the supplements frequencies.
No, they do for general, but if you want to customize your own stuff to send to people. I mean,
Right.
I've been big on longevity, life extension, reverse aging, things like that, from a natural standpoint. And certain products claim this, but it helps with longevity anyway, like cell and even organ regeneration. So why not send it to these people? Because I've been taking it for 3, 4 years. You know, stuff from Project Camelot, these products that she talks about, and then I've listened to those people being interviewed. For example, NanoSoma was one of them. New Extracts is another one. Even the Root brand, and the Root was interesting. Even NanoSoma was when all of this COVID stuff happened, especially with the injections. They were able to reverse the injection stuff with their products, and so I've been able to turn some of those and use them personally for myself to just keep maintained, and I'm in pretty decent shape, aside from, exercise.
Now, let me ask you, do you believe that the energies are working for you?
Yeah, I'll give a maybe I could give. I don't have to get too explicit. Okay, one thing I bought that was pretty expensive, because Mike Adams interviewed this guy on Deer Antler Velvet, and he supposedly got the best in terms of the process, distillation, purification of like not just male enhancement, but like vitality, things like that. So I got it. I got the most expensive one. And I probably overdid it because you have to calibrate to what your body takes. And I had a bad side effect because I overdid it. I guess kind of a Herxheimer effect. So, oh, I got to back off. And then when I turned that into a frequency and then I overdid the frequency, the same thing happened. It's like, oh, okay. So that's a way to prove that I got the same side effect from this supplement.
Well, why would you continue to use a supplement if you can get it in an energetic way?
Exactly. I mean, for me, it depends on that's a really good question. Like, if it's something I rely on of the 3D body, like for workouts, I have this amino acid powder that touts to be the best, and it is a little expensive, but I do buy it regularly because I want to have that consistency with the workouts.
But why do you think that you wouldn't?
I just don't want to take the chance, especially with that. I could eventually, like, okay, let me try to wean off it and just, but like, where do you draw the line? I mean, that's a good question for Karen, where this helps with my workout and recovery and muscle building. That's what amino acid is, the building block, aside from C60. And yeah, I just don't want to take that chance despite the price. Because I can, I already have it as a frequency,
Well,
but like,
I'm not trying to say that I think you're wrong. I mean, I'm not. I'm just curious as to why you think that that's right. Personally,
yeah.
I don't think it's necessary, but
I agree.
that's from a, let's say, more of my scientific brain looking at it. But we've been so programmed to think of the human body is this thing outside ourselves, sort of, even though we live in it, that we have to feel like we're nurturing it. But it's something that our guest said that I wanted to talk to him about was that the celestial energies that, the suns and moons and all this other stuff out there. When they're hitting the earth, the minerals on the earth are absorbing that resonance and that energy. They're acting like capacitors. So if life came from cosmic energy in the form of the just everything moving together and making a sound that we can't maybe hear. They can record it, but our human ear would probably wouldn't hear it if we were standing in the, on the planet. If you've got that kind of a, let's say, energy field, a source of energy, you have to kind of suspect that the original life forms We're taking in that energy. And over time, for whatever reason, began to need actual food for the body. But initially, it had to be energy. They've done studies where they took rabbits in North, South Korea, and they added, I believe it was phosphorus. It was some kind of a thing that they could actually see. Well, I don't want to say phosphorus because I think it might have been slightly radioactive. I'm not sure what it was now because this was probably 30 years ago. I read about this report. But they injected it into the area that's the acupuncture point on the rabbit. They could determine that because acupuncture points put out a energy wave that can be measured. If you're measuring the point exactly, it gives you a higher reading than if you go anywhere slightly beyond that one point. So they were injecting it into an embryo. And what they saw was this, each of the acupuncture points were already in existence. In other words, the first system, excuse me, the first system that was there was an energy field that they could trace and put on video. That's your acupuncture nadius points. Okay. That's like the, in my opinion, that if they could go a step further, they'd see that it's the nerves too. You've got two systems. And the system of the nerve is, again, and it starts out as an energy field. And they can see it, and then they realize, oh my gosh, this is turning into nerves. So the thing that I'm trying to put out here is that the original blueprint of the body is energy. So if it can create an entire body through energy, don't you suppose it can also heal it? Question?
No, I totally agree. Like, there's just a hesitancy I have. And then I guess my next session with Karen, I can always ask her or email her about that. But especially when it comes to my workout, I don't want to take chances. I guess that's my limit with that. But no, it's like the thing with what was this book, Thought Field Therapy. And it's basically what you said, where they're able to map out the meridian points and the energy, not like body ley lines through like radioactive isotopes or something that they channeled through the acupuncture points. I think it was Dr. Alfonso Manza was talking about it on the podcast, and he's big on the electric body. And to me, that's been my foundation. I mean, even the Bible says, "Let there be light," like the first word. And the Tesla quote of we are light frequency and sound kind of thing. That we're not even solid objects. So it's a fun exploration. I haven't started any of the Genius Biofeedback classes yet. I mean, they're all free. There's tons of YouTube videos. Because I messaged Karen and wanted to get the exact thing that she played for me and, run it on a loop. But it's something I have to do on the app to do like a send and receive option. But in the meantime, like I'm grateful you put that video up on the Cosmic Reality Rumble channel where, okay, where was it that what do you call it? She started to work on me, and then when the frequencies were played, so I just looped that. What like it was like I don't know, 30 seconds or something. And one of my reasons for being the guinea pig to be worked on, it's like, okay, here's my image, and then what do you call it? The stuff that's inside me that needs to be pulled out. And the number one thing being like a chemtrail thing that she even mentioned, everybody has this. one of our guests that you guys had, local Shungite here, Ray, and he asked for it recently, was his appearance on one of the shows in the Cosmic Reality radio station, Say What Show, back in 2020. I could have sworn it was sooner, but it was like August 29, 2020. A teacher who was using Shungite, Derek's products, mysticalwares.com, like the powder, the stickers, the magnets for the Wi-Fi that's in the classroom and all these things. And I mentioned before that he had some medical issues come up where he couldn't teach anymore. And he recently had another incident where he had to go to the hospital. And that's why I was adamant to, what do you call it? Get worked on by Karen and to understand more about the app that I, barely even used for the past several years. And now I'm using it every day, knowing that I could just take somebody's picture, run it through of what they need, like their inflammation they have too much of and not enough vitamins and minerals or whatever, and send that to the picture, which connects to the person and sends it to the person. And while I'm doing my, regular day jobs, it's in the car, I'm running these frequencies to whoever, friends and family. And Karen was able to help with that. So now every day I'm always running somebody through different things, these supplements I pay hundreds of dollars for. And yeah, we'll see how that goes. Because, people get, there's a cat that has a tumor, somebody got cancer, this and that. And now I can, as soon as I hear about it, no matter how little the incident, I can already work on them. I mean, I could do that on my own already with like Quantum Touch, Matrix Energetics, and I have another intent, a couple intention groups. But for, it's just more tools for the toolbox, your Batman utility belt. And if there's something I can do for someone right away within minutes, then I'll do that. And that's where I'm at with that. So, and I keep up with her. She has a Facebook group, Karen. She always does interviews and the YouTube page and just learning more about the app here. But since I have these, what do you call it? Endpoint supplements where, okay, this is a thing that can help with supposedly organ regeneration, cell regeneration, age reversal. And I send that to you and Derek, the iRevive, I think, and they have a liquid form. And so I can send that to anybody at any time as a frequency. But yeah, and then it remains to be seen if people keep consistently good. Like my mom lives overseas and has lung issues because she lives in the city, third world country, and they just don't obey any of the, they have no pollution control. And she has to go out into the country to recover because of her lungs. And yeah, so I'll have to get in touch with her to see how she's doing because I've been working on her too. But it's just something to do over time. I don't know, we can move to another subject if you guys want to talk about something else.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Callie, what's your attitude about the body and the spirit combination, kind of like what we've been talking about, because of your experiences, let's put it that way.
Very, very big connection. In fact, it's one and the same. Where your thoughts consistently go, so does your body, and vice versa. And so, when you got a problem in one area, it usually corresponds with a matter of the mind in some form or another. And figuring out and identifying what that could possibly be is a very, very simple fix. And just working to reverse that, whatever habit that you're into, being able to sort of reverse that is key. The I wanted to touch on the sort of sympathetic aspect that Mark was talking about regarding the long distance healing and stuff like that. I've always had a funny relationship with that concept because all I've ever had to do was put the intent out there and do it in a very, very honest way. and to sort of ground myself in that intent, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And then I let it go. I don't really, in years past, I've always tried to, visit them at night through dreams and stuff like that. And it was always, the results were always, spotty. It would happen sometimes, sometimes it wouldn't. But what I discovered later is that the times where I didn't try to do that at night, especially, they would have some kind of experience, whether it was a very powerful thought that they got just at random throughout the day, or they would have a dream or something like that. And I didn't make any direct effort to do it, but the results still occurred. So I've always tried to keep that. I've always just tried to set the intent and then leave it. I'm very intense when I set the intent, but after that, all real efforts on my part cease. And I just try to keep them in my mind as being recovered, healthy, so on and so forth. So that's kind of the way I choose to do it, and that seems to work. And as far as the body and the mind goes, just constantly being grounded, reassessing where your thoughts are, how you're feeling about them, being like the sort of captain of that ship as best you can, as objectively as you can help identify some of these issues, especially internally. I've had some interesting results in years past where I'll be having some kind of pang like on the side of my body. I'll think, oh, I think there's something maybe wrong with my kidney or liver or something like that. And I'll just spend most of the time meditating. And now this is going to sound crazy to the listener probably, but I would just meditate on it and put myself in an overall good mood for as long as I possibly could, keep that rolling as best as I possibly could throughout the day. And within a day or two, the pang would go away. I'd go see the doctor, they'd run their tests, and it would be fine. There'd be no issues at all. And I think there's a big connection between the body and the mind. And where one goes, so does the other, as I like to say. So you have to keep an eye on both.
Well, one concrete study that kind of points to that is, I think it's 70, it's over 75%, I think, of the placebo tests, the placebo wins, which is sugar. And that's because they think the people that are testing it, they think that it's going to heal them. It's a group that gets the real medicine and a group that doesn't.
The very powerful phenomenon.
It is, and I don't know why they don't study that, because I think that's an example of what you're saying, that our intentions, our thoughts, are really where the healing occurs. And it's sort of like the supplement thing too, Do you use your mind to do this, or do you find out what the supplements are? Well, we've been doing the supplements for a while and it ain't working. And yet, in the beginning, it had to be energy healing. They had healers who knew the herbs and that sort of thing, but they also had, they were acknowledged as having healing energies. So we kind of got to get back to our roots.
And a good example of this, and exactly, and a good example of that, can be found with the ancient Greeks, and some of the other practices in the Far East, during that time. I know the cult of Pythagoras. I know what's his name, Peter Kingsley, likes to talk about it a lot. Where modern medicine at that time for them was a combination of stillness and harmonic resonance. And that was, I mean, a hospital would have been a cave that had very, very significant acoustic properties. And so the point of that, I think, was to put the mind in a certain state to where the body could follow it. It was a sort of returning to normalcy with the body and the mind. And I think those effects are very, very valid and very powerful. And
Well, yeah,
so.
I saw a TV thing, a little show there, and they were going to different sacred caves, and they were taking readings on the resonance that occurs within the cave, and they all were basically the same frequency, and it was a frequency that kind of puts the human mind into a meditative state. So the ancients were playing with sound as a way of, let's say, inducing meditation. I mean, there were dozens of them. Dozens of them. So again, and I mean, even in New England, they found small caves that could hold maybe 11 people, something, around that number. And inevitably, the opening to the cave, which looked like it was man-made, was very small, very hard to find. And I was talking to this girl that was in her neighborhood, and she said that herself and a friend went inside this tunnel cave. The tunnel was only body length type thing, like an igloo kind of. And she said that they started to chant, and the sound that came back to them was absolutely, overpowering. It was so powerful. It freaked them out. They ran out of the place. So there's something about that concept of this caves and the healing that is a very real and measurable science. I just wanted to point that out. It was fascinating.
Yeah, and you can replicate some of those environments at home to a degree. I mean, it's just a matter of getting your mind back to a more, back to the what's the word I'm looking for? It's about getting back to baseline. And so you can do that with a combination of stillness and frequency. That's one way to do it. And I'm not, I've studied some of the science behind it, and some of the, some people like Karen, for example, would probably know way more about this than I do. But the fundamental principle, I think, is the same, and it's achievable. And so I think that that's, I mean, for me, that's what I do when I start coming down with something or I start feeling ill. I try to be still. I try to immerse myself in some type of frequency, and I try to just meditate on the solution to the problem. Basically, I focus on the outcome that I want, and it's not always easy to maintain that while I'm doing it. It's just con it's sometimes it's a constant back and forth. I have to readjust my mind. I have to go back to what the intention was. The mind tends to wander, but that's basically how I deal with it. I mean, just simple stuff like coming down with colds and stuff like that does wonders for that, and I think an overall a joyous disposition, just as a natural state, is a big one. I think that's pretty much where we want to stay if we want to avoid most of these, minor sort of illnesses and stuff like that. So that's, for me, it's always been that simple. I know we could, jump into the weeds of it and the science and all that, which I'm not entirely versed in, but for me, that's the simplicity of it for me works. And that's how I handle it.
Yeah, if it works, it works. That's why we talk about various different ways of getting there. Everybody out there is unique, and so maybe some of you need the supplements, maybe some of you don't. But to know that there are this we're still trying to get to the midpoint. What? Okay. Well, there's this side and that side. Is there a middle? What are we looking at here? And we're.
And
Go ahead.
the thing with the, oh, I'm sorry. And the things with the supplements, they can help. The I know people that deal with things like depression, for example, like constant depression. Upping their magnesium does wonders if they're doing everything else they can to lift their mental state up. Magnesium is a huge boost when it comes to that. The workout stuff. It's such a I mean, the science behind all that is so convoluted and tough to follow or tough to really trust at times. But if it's working, keep using it. I think that the best tool you can use is the one that you are confident in and the one that's going to work. It's kind of like a good analogy I could use would be like something like a firearm. You know, if you're a law enforcement officer or something like that, you know, the only gun that you're really gonna, you know, be effective with is the one you trust. And so, interesting relationship there. So yeah, so supplements can help. You know, they definitely can help. And I'm not anti-supplement at all. In fact, I take quite a few a day. Not very many, not as many as I used to, but I still take supplements. And I think that, you know, I do feel a noticeable difference when I don't. So definitely worth the while. And I don't think you need much. I think it's not that big of an investment. You know, just the basics. You know, I would avoid the multivitamins. I would just sit with, you know, I would just stick with a targeted few, you know, whatever mineral or vitamin by itself that you think you might be lacking, take that. Stay away from the vitamin D supplements. Those are poison. Minerals and Lugol's iodine. I mean, that's really all you need, I think, for most people. I think though that's what most people are deficient in. And of course, if you're training or working out or whatever, then your needs are going to be different. And yeah, I am pro supplement to a degree.
Well, I like supplements. I use some of them, but the one that I really, really recommend is Balance of Nature, because they take vegetables and fruit. They dry them out, but not with heat. So they're capturing a lot of the energies, the original life energies, and they put them in these capsules that are airtight. And then they send them to us. And you've got one that's vegetables and one that's fruit. And if I don't take those in the morning, in the afternoon, I'm going like, what's wrong? And then I realize I didn't take them. And you know, nowadays, I mean, if you could get it right off the vine, of course, it'd be much better. But we don't have access to that, most of us. And in the grocery stores, one manager of the produce department said that if you buy an apple, it's actually a 2-year-old apple. You know, oh, okay. How much life energy could be in that? So there are supplements that I take. I take the D7 or the D and the whatever, yeah, whatever it is. And but that's again because of this connection that sometimes we do need the thing inside of us to keep putting off the energy. And that goes back to a question that I started to raise and then kind of forgot about it. But when you do your intentions, you do it once and then you sort of let it go, except you do send out loving energy to the person that you have done it to, correct? Yeah.
Basically, yeah, I like to set the intention, and I might have to do that, you know, several times a day for a moment or two, and then I just drop it, and then I let it. I just try to focus on in the immediate moments afterwards. I try to focus on their well-being, and I try to visualize them healthy, and joyous, and not moving with the sort of ailment that they have. You know, if a cough is keeping them from having a conversation, I envision them joyous and being able to have a conversation, stuff like that.
Because there's a well there's the concept that you put it out there and that you when you give it over to God and let it go, and you only have to do it once. But Derek was the one that started talking about no, he thought you had to sort of reinforce the energy field. And again, I mean, I could go either way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it doesn't really, I mean, if once is enough, then once is enough. It just
Yeah.
depends on the and if that continues to work, then continue to do it. That's kind of the whole point of it. I've always preferred to sort of readjust and reset the intention often, especially if it's important to me, if it's somebody I care about, just as a matter of thoroughness, I suppose you could say. Basically, just wanting to get it out there and to make sure I'm getting it done. And because where the attention goes, so does the energy. So if I'm wrapped up in something else, or if I'm in a social situation that's requiring a lot of my attention, a lot of focus, I will take a moment out, during that if it's possible, and reset that intention towards the other person. And that's just always how I've done it, and it's always seemed to work. So I'll just keep doing that. But if it's one and done, if you can do it once and then be done with it, that's perfect. That's ideal. So I'm not
Yeah.
there yet. I'm not that advanced.
Mark, you got anything about this subject, or you got something else you want to talk about?
Yeah, one of the things, I think it was Awake Versus Aware, so we did a Richard Gordon clip on quantum touch, and that's what I lean more towards. The what's in common with matrix energetics, quantum touch, and then the power of Aitlin McTaggart group I'm in, and the other group is a matrix energetics group. We meet once a week to work on intention. What's common is a lot of people are stuck in their head, so they tell you to bring that point of awareness into the chest area, the heart space. And then from there, you project out. And that's the commonality. So there must be something that's, they see it as a gateway. What do you call it? Like the vesica Pisces. That's what, I mean, we had Dr. Bartlett on a couple months ago. And because he saw it as two counter rotating vortices, the heart area. And then the whole thing about the heart not being a pump, and that it does include the fourth phase of water in its activity. And as I was researching for the guest we were supposed to have, he interviewed Veda Austin, who's basically the next level up to, oh, what's that guy with Masaru Emoto, I think, the one of showing of the different frozen water and sending intention to it, and it's a different shape. So Veda Austin does that, but in a more expanded way. Oh, what was I going to talk about with her? One of them was putting two mirrors between a water tray, and then a water tube had come out of it and was continually growing, like some kind of, because she freezes it, she calls it crystallography, and she was freaked out by it, like it was growing on its own, as having putting two mirrors between the frozen water. I thought that was really strange. So she's taking things next level as far as water and consciousness. But I forgot, oh, it was that at least in the podcast interview, when you take your CPR training, they tell you to do the compressions first and then the CPR second. And I forget what the, but if you look up Veda Austin's interviews from this month, early this month, she talks about it, where the measurement for death isn't stopping of the heart or the pulse. It's that the fluid in the body has stopped moving. And that's where they got the idea of compression first and then CPR next. And that goes into the fourth phase of water thing. I thought that was interesting as far as the thing of raising of consciousness and taking medicine into the next level and taking it into your own hands too, where life force has always been seen as a parallel to water. And even in some dreams, your movement can sometimes be like moving underwater. That's why in some mental technology training aspects, if you do snorkeling in the water, that mimics somewhat movement in the astral or the ether. And so there's something to be said about the energy body and its biophysics to water, and to what these advances in decentralized medicine are moving towards. That's why I've been big on Dr. Jack Cruz was right around the time I found Shungite, where his whole thing was always about grounding, sun, and proper hydration, but in terms of the water that your body makes, because you have all of these things leveled out and optimized, that cold plunges is a big thing, and getting the right sun, which structures the water in your body so that it can function properly, circadian rhythm, things like that. So as what I'm doing as far as his circadian movement and his students and who've become influencers and have their own practices now is, as we're going into the fall season, what are the new fruits and vegetables that are in season, and even the kinds of proteins you would change to eat in terms of your locality and what your body's adapting to, locally. And I mean, most health food stores and even farmers markets, they do prioritize what's in season so that everything's in line with what the body's adapting to with the changing weather, quote unquote flu season, right? The changing of the sun, and for some people you have the daylight savings time, which obviously screws up. I had one of my accidents back in March because of that. Some kid slammed into me on the road the day after daylight savings time. So I mean, obviously change is the only constant, and we're constantly calibrating to what's happening around us. And for me, as the weather changes, I up my supplement intake. But really, the supplements I have are just food. I mean, I agree with you guys on magnesium, yes, especially if you're working out. Everybody needs that. Iodine, absolutely. Those are like the cornerstones. And then the proper foods to what your body tells you, as opposed to somebody else, because you're your own doctor. I forget who said it. I don't know if it was Hippocrates, but you should be your own doctor. Back to you guys.
Well, there's an interesting thing because I want to give you guys just a story because it took the concepts that we've been talking about and put them in action and see what happens, basically. So one of the cats, the outside cats, I got two outside cats. One of them comes in and has a really strange, very, let's say, big wound in the back of her back leg, up, towards her butt. And I couldn't figure out how the hell she did it or what she did it on. And she's skittish. She doesn't like to be picked up, and she's skittish. And she reads my mind. So I was able to treat her with colloidal silver spray, and to keep it from infecting. And then I gave her some arnica. I was talking to Derek, and he said you probably should use honey, but to put honey on her, that area, that wound, that's where she sits. You get in the dirt, the dirt would be irritating to the wound, and no, that wasn't going to work. But I got thinking about it, so I said, well, okay, let's try this. And I started envisioning this wound being covered with honey, shungite honey, but honey. And I could immediately see an improvement. Now, I was giving her the colloidal silver, but I did see an improvement. So then I have the other outside cat. She had a eye discharge since the minute she came here. And everything I've tried to get rid of it energetically, because again, skittish cat, not going to let me work on her, hasn't really worked. So I started to envision her eyes just bathed in honey. And that thing that she's had for over a year, year and a half with me, I get a little bit of it every once in a while, but nothing like it was. So just something to think about. And as I was working with this concept of putting out the energy field of honey, shungite honey. All of a sudden, I get this voice in my head: honey is God's medicine. So I'm just throwing that out to you guys. You know, might be, who knows? But it was working for two different cats.
Yeah, and that I'm not surprised because the psychic link and just the overall consciousness link between our familiars and us is quite strong, and it builds over time. And I had a very similar experience recently, not with healing the cat, but finding it. I have an indoor cat. He's close to 19 years old now, and he's had a very different. I think I'm the third. I'm his third parent, basically. He's been passed around, unfortunately, throughout his life, but I've had him for over 10 years, and he used to be an outdoor cat, and he would go around the neighborhood and just he was like the neighborhood cat, basically. And so when I got him, he became an indoor cat. I live in an apartment, so he didn't go out, and he hasn't really been out. He escapes every once in a while. But he never goes far. He tends to just stay near, where the unit is, and he doesn't venture off, thankfully. But he escaped a couple days ago, about a couple weeks ago, and the missus was coming in with some groceries, and he just snuck out. Nobody saw him leave, and so several hours went by, and we're like, "Where's the cat?" Because he likes to disappear. He likes to have his alone time. He likes to curl up in the closet, and so. Towards when we were getting ready to go to bed, we're like, where's the cat? And so we couldn't find him anywhere, and so we went out looking for him, and I knew he was nearby. I know he I didn't I knew he wouldn't venture out very far, but we couldn't find him, and it was nighttime and it was raining, so it was difficult to see. And so I was just like, well, okay, I'm sure he'll come back. We'll hear him. He'll be at the door, or he'll be at somebody else's door nearby. And so I just left the window open, and the guy just woke up every couple hours, figured I'd go out and check to see if he was, near any of the doors or anything like that. And nothing until about 7 in the morning. I have this, I wake up and I think I'm awake, but I'm pretty sure I was dreaming. But I heard a rustling sound coming, the same sound coming from two different places, if that makes any sense. I thought it was coming from under the bed, and then I thought it was coming near the window. And it was really, really weird. I jumped out of bed. Turn the flashlight on. I'm looking under the bed, make sure did he get trapped under there or something? Nope, he's not there. He's not at the window, but it was a very distinct sound, like a cat, like when it gets startled, it just makes a commotion as it leaps to its feet and all that. That's kind of what it sounded like. And so I go outside, and there he is. He's just sitting on a ledge near my front door, just staring at me like, took you long enough. And it was in no distress, wasn't in any pain or anything, wasn't scared. It was just sitting there, just laying down. And so I was like, oh, that's weird. Like I think maybe he came out of hiding or something, and was ready to come inside. And that was kind of how I was alerted to that fact. And so it was really, really bizarre, because it was as if it was like I was walking between the worlds of dreaming and awake. It was very, very real. I heard it, and I knew where it was coming from, and I thought I was awake when it happened, but apparently not. Apparently I was dreaming it. And so when I did finally get outside shortly after, there he was. And so I was like, oh, okay, that was his way of letting me know he was ready to come in.
Well, you
He just
know
wanted a night out, apparently.
that concept of between worlds. I've had cats, one in particular. He'd be in the bedroom sleeping. I'd walk into the living room and he'd be on the couch awake. He did it. I mean, he was spooky. He would just want, you know. So and living with animals for as long as I have so many of them, they sleep a lot. And my suspicion is that when they're awake, they're actually dreaming from wherever they really live. We're their dream world, And it's just something that, it's a thought that It kind of is real to me because it seems to answer so many questions about these spooky cats. They can be just amazing.
Yeah, my Chonky boy, he's the one common theme that went with him everywhere he went. All of his previous owners noted that he was just really, really strange, a really odd cat. And he is a very weird cat. Like there were times where I'll wake up and he'll just be standing staring right at me. And it's kind of like, well, how long have you been doing that? Like he'll just sit there and be staring at me. And he does other weird things too, that typical cat weirdness. But that was always the weird one, because every now and again, if I fall asleep on the couch or if I take a nap in the middle of the day, there he is. I wake up and he's just standing over me, staring right at me. And it's like, what are you looking at? Like, what do you see while I'm sleeping? Very, very odd. And
I was sleeping and I had one cat that came in. I worked nights, so it was the daytime. Came in and got on my chest, and it woke me up. And no sooner was I awake than there was a puff of smoke and then fire. The fan above me had caught, the ceiling fan had caught on fire, and he had never done that before. So you never know what they're up to.
No. And sometimes it's nice to think that there are counterparts, and especially with cats. It's nice to think, oh yeah, they're that's my little fur baby, and we're one and the same. And I've always kind of got the feeling that especially with cats, is they're in it for themselves. That cat was waking you up because it wants to get the hell out of there. Doesn't necessarily care about you specifically, but it's just like, I need to get out of here, so you're the best bet. Wake up.
It's an interesting experience to be with any kind of an animal. And one of the things that's really striking is how different they all are. And every once in a while, you get a cat that feels like one that's already passed. I had this one cat. He was the oddest cat any of us had ever met, because when you were out watering the flowers, that cat would come and get in the spray. He wanted to be soaked with a hose. Where have you ever seen that? Black, all black. He came back four times. Four different bodies, but those four different bodies all went for the water. That's how come I'm so sure. Because he felt like him. As a matter of fact, by the third one, somebody said, God, it was a kitten. And they said, this just feels like him. And I said, yeah. I said, let's test it. And we put the hose out there with, just a kind of a trickle, and that little kitten went right in it.
Yeah,
Oh
that's
my.
wild.
It's not impossible, let me put it to you that way. We, no matter how learned we become, all that happens is you go, boy, I am ignorant. There's so much more to learn.
Definitely, definitely. And one other interesting thing that I noticed about my Chonky boy was during the darker times, I like to call them, when I was dealing with things like depression and stuff like that, there were certain trains of thought, and I actually documented this. And every once in a while, I try to experiment with it a little bit, and just to see if the hypothesis is correct. But whenever I'd get on a certain train of thought, in a very specific train of thought, he would come up and start yelling at me. He'd start meowing at me. He'd be at my feet. I'd be on the couch or whatever. He'd come up to my feet and just start yelling. And for a while, I didn't understand it. I was like, well, you got food, you got water, litter box is clean. What are you complaining about? What do you need? And because I was under the assumption that they do that, especially him, that they do that when they want something. When they're lacking something that they want, they yell at you. And so I began to notice. It took a little while, actually. Shame on me, but it took me a minute to figure it out. And anytime I would get onto this train of thought, he would come up and yell at me. And when I finally proved that hypothesis, and when I finally was able to go, okay, so it's when I'm getting to this point mentally, I'm projecting something, and he's picking it up, and he knows it's not right. He knows something is wrong. It's not a life or death thing, but it's he understands that something is very, very wrong here. Something's bad. And so he's coming up and yelling at me about it. And perhaps he doesn't really understand exactly what it is. He just knows something is wrong. And so every once in a while, I like to put myself into that state just to see what happens, just to see if he, and to this day, anytime I get on that train of thought or I start thinking about that particular thing, he comes up and yells at me. And so they're very intuitive creatures. They understand energy. I'm convinced of that. They understand. They can maybe see the changes visually. They definitely can sense it. And as far as their understanding of it goes, who knows? It could be more profound than we think. But they are receptive to those things, especially if you've lived with them for quite a long time. And so, whenever he starts yelling at me, I try to listen. I go, okay, so what is it that I'm doing wrong? What am I, what do I need to change here? And so, I mean, but these days he normally just yells when he's hungry or his water bowl's empty and stuff like that. But for a good stretch, it was very, very constant. It was the same theme, and then he would yell. And so I always thought that was fascinating. And yeah, I love him all the more for it.
Yeah, I have one cat that when they start doing that, it's either that they need food or mostly food. But every once in a while, I go, well, more than once in a while, I go in there and I say, what, hon, you got food? All he wants is a hug. That's all. Just give me a hug and then he's good. They got me on a chain, I'll tell you.
Yeah, my chalky boy, he likes to come when he wants attention. He jumps up on the couch and he'll start rubbing his head against my forearm, and it's always a weird, it's typical cat. You want to pet him and give him his lovin's. He'll roll over and he want you to rub his tummy, but as soon as you start rubbing it, he'll try to bite you several times. And it's yeah, it's just one of those things. And so you start to learn, exactly, the ins and outs of your pets. And I think they learn the ins and outs of you too, especially cats. I think they're very, intelligent dogs figure this out as well. But cats, I think, are very, very skilled at it. It's like they have an instinct for it. And it's pretty incredible. I was never really a cat guy myself. And to be honest, I didn't even want the little guy. I had a girlfriend years and years and years ago that kept bringing home animals. And so he brought home a cat one day, and I was like, well, okay. And when she left, she left the animals with me. So I ended up, they were mine now. So I, instead of rehoming them, I decided to keep them. And I'm so glad I did. They were absolutely wonderful companions. And this little chunky guy, he's been a net positive in my life. And so I'm really glad that he's still here. And despite his age, he has nothing chronic going on. He has no sign of discomfort or anything. Very similar to how my dog was. My dog lived to be 21. And so, he's getting up there. I think he's 18 or 19 now. And but still the same cat as day one. He hasn't changed a bit. It's like he's been in stasis the whole time. It's really, really fascinating.
Well, we could talk about animal stories. I know we could, for quite a while. Is there something else you want to talk about? We're over the hour.
I don't know, Mark. Are you good? I was thinking, we could do the dream warfare stuff maybe on a later show or something like that.
Yeah, some of the guests that we are wanting to have on the Awake versus Aware can get into that as far as remote influencing dream warfare from, I mean, I'm re referencing Tony Rodriguez, who was big in the remote viewing scene and got into dream warfare because he was being tampered with. so people can look at those interviews on YouTube and podcasts. But I think no, this is good. We're over an hour and covered quite a bit. I think we might do Sixth Generation Warfare for Cosmic Soup. We'll see with clips, and then trying to set up an interview next week on the other show, more on consciousness technologies and where people take it, dream work, shamanic dream work, law of attraction as in manifestation, and then the what you guys were talking about earlier, placebo and nocebo effects and mind over matter. So that should be fun. Just a matter of scheduling, I think. And hopefully we'll have Derek back next week. Otherwise, I think he's still doing the once a week scalar healing. Mysticalwares.setmore.com, I think, is the address. I don't know what this week says, if you give me a moment to look at it. Yeah, mysticalwares.setmore.com. It changes every week and it's free. You can put in as many names as you want. This week's is relieve, release anxiety and stress. I know a lot of people can use that. And yeah, you just put in the person's name, like an email, and then that's it. As many people as you want. So that's always helpful. And I think he uses the spooky too. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the genius biofeedback, people can try that for free for 2 weeks. So you're not losing anything. You're doing a phone app with all of these frequencies beyond vitamins and supplements, obviously. It does meridians and solfeggio frequencies, a whole host of those kinds of other next level stuff. So a lot of options there. You just got to make the move.
Okay then. Yeah, like he says, we should be back with Derek next week, and we've got the other two shows coming up. So we thank you all for listening. Be safe, and we'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.